Dear congregation, we come to the last of the Advent Sundays that lead us up to Christmas, Lord willing, next week. Advent, what is it all about? Advent is all about expecting, about waiting, about longing, about looking forward. Waiting and looking forward to Christmas. Maybe that's what you're doing. Days off. The joy of being together. Is that what you're looking forward to? Christmas, days off, joy, celebration, comfort. If so, if we are looking forward to Christmas, are we looking forward to the comfort of Christmas? Are we looking forward to, ultimately, to God who fulfills all his glorious promises in and through the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we looking forward, ultimately, not just to celebrate that wonder, that amazing wonder, if you think about it, that God Almighty took upon himself flesh and became a little baby. God, who is infinite, a little baby. Are we also, and that's maybe more the emphasis this morning, are we also looking forward not just to the first coming as we commemorate that next week, Lord willing, during Christmas, but are we also looking forward with eagerness and expectation to his second coming? When he will come the second time, yes, to bring salvation, but also to judge the living and the dead. And we are going to consider this morning, with the Lord's help, the story of Noah. We consider the joy in our text of Father Lamech, who holds his little boy, Noah. And as he holds Noah, as it were, in his arms, he expresses these words full of expectation and hope. And we hear the echoes of one. We all understand when a little baby is born, there's hope, there's joy, there's expectation. And it was no different for Father Lamech at the birth of Noah. And so let's, with God's help, consider our text as we can find it, Genesis 8, 5, verses 28 and 29. And read God's word there. And it says, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son and called his name Noah, saying, 'This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed.'" This same, or this one. And that's our theme this morning. This one will comfort us. Well, how? Well, Lamech thought about Noah through his birth and through his name and through his reputation and through his calling and through his salvation. He thought about Noah. But as we hope to see, they lead us all to Jesus. And so we pray this morning that the Lord will come among us and minister to us by the powerful work of his Holy Spirit, whether we need conviction or comfort. He knows it perfectly. So let's first of all look at this one will comfort us through his birth. Children, young people, do you see him stand there, Lamech, Father Lamech, and their joy fills his heart? He has such hope, such expectation as he's holding his little son, Noah. Great expectations fill his heart. Wonderful joy and hope fills his heart when he says, this one will comfort us concerning the work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now we wonder, don't we? What is Lamech expecting exactly? Well, Lamech hopes that finally Noah, after such a long time, will give them comfort. And the word in Hebrew for comfort is make him sigh with a sigh of relief. You know what that is, right? A sigh of relief. It's about 1,400 years after Cain was cruelly murdered. Cain murdered Abel, rather. And it's about, it's now 1,500 years after God created the world and the world was perfect. And Adam and Eve lived with the Lord and walked with the Lord and had this wonderful communion and relationship with the Lord. It was all good and beautiful and perfect. But that was not the case anymore in the days of Noah. It had become a place of trouble, just as we can see around us, all around us. Life was hard, just as we see that often and experience that often. The world wasn't that nice a place anymore. It was cursed. It had corrupted itself. So what is Lamech looking for when he holds Noah? He is full of hope that finally now he has lived 182 years, and now he thinks this is enough trouble. All the trouble that God has given because of the curse, rightly so, because God is just and holy. Now, all the trouble that we have experienced due to our fall into sin, that now finally, God is going to do something grand and glorious. He's going to reverse the curse. God had promised, had he not? When he cursed Satan in Genesis chapter 3, there is this glorious promise, and Adam and Eve had heard it. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so Lamech, he thinks after 1,500 years of trouble on the earth, that now God is going to fulfill that promise. Because life is hard. Well, what kind of world was Lamech living in? It was just like our world. There was violence, there was hardship, there were hardships and trouble, and there was wickedness that filled the earth. Can we relate to that? When we look around us, we look around in a world that is very similar to Lamech's world. In many ways, our world is getting itself ready for judgment. In many ways, we can also, through different circumstances, hear the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, can't we? Earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, sickness, death, violence, corruption, the love of many growing cold. Or what about abortion, baby killing, or euthanasia, senior murder? And don't we all have, when we look at our own lives, we have all the results of the fall in our lives too. The consequences of Adam's sin are echoing in our lives, don't they? We think about men. Simply because God cursed our work, it can be sometimes very hard to do our work properly and faithfully and as unto the Lord. And it can be painful and frustrating, and sometimes it can be plain boring. The ground is cursed, the Lord said. Thorns and thistles it will bring forth. The work is hard. Life is hard. And moments when we experience that kind of frustration, don't we want to sigh a sigh of relief with Lamech? Be done with it. Oh, the pain and the hardship. Everything in this world around us reminds us, doesn't it, that this world is not our home. We live outside of paradise. And then a statement like Lamech's is very comforting, don't you think? This one can echo with our hearts. This one, this same one shall comfort us from what? From the work and the toil of our hands. The toil means sorrow, and it means laboriousness and pain and trouble. Because the Lord, the ground is cursed. And we look for comfort. Are you looking for comfort this morning? Where are you looking for comfort? What is your Advent all about? Young people, where are you looking for comfort? Family, friends, what a gift. Yes. Food, Christmas, friends. All gifts, yes. But is that all the comfort you have? Or do you look at different places? Movies, perhaps, or social media, or something. To get your mind off the world, not thinking, entertainment, not thinking. That's what it means. Is that the comfort you want? Or are you just simply looking, yes, I'm going to, by God's grace, establish a family and a career and all those things that are legitimate and marriage, and I want to do well in life. That kind of comfort. Or are you still looking somewhere else for comfort? Are you looking perhaps in your sins for comfort? I hope not, because those are only temporary pleasures and they make you feel guilty and not comforted afterwards. Comfort. Who is not looking for comfort? You look around the world. Maybe you would ask, you go to the streets and you ask somebody, what's your comfort? What would they answer? And we all know that we are not to look into this world for comforts and the earthly things. And yes, we may thankfully rejoice in the things that the Lord gives, but that's not the ultimate comfort. But our hearts so often go to places where we think we have comfort. So let me ask the question, what do our actions tell us where you and I look for comfort? What do our bank accounts say that you and I are looking for comfort? What do our words tell others where we seek comfort? Is there ever been a time that you thought, well, I'm going to buy this and that will give me comfort? The next new thing. And then you find out, no, it's just only temporary. Can't really comfort. It doesn't do it. And yes, of course, we know the answer. Only Jesus Christ gives true rest. But do we know it? With our hearts and with our actions, with our words, and even with our purchases. Do we know the power of that in our hearts? Because Noah, yes, this one will comfort us, but it's only a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when you have the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, then you can say with Lord's Day 1, my only hope and comfort in life and death is that I'm not my own, But I belong to my faithful Savior. That I have hope because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was born. He was born to comfort, to bring true glad tidings of comfort and joy. This one, His name will give us true comfort as we understand what His name means. And there's only one name given under heaven by which we must be saved, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us first compare, that is in our second thought, with the name of Noah. Because our text says, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah." Children, do you know what Noah means? Do you know? Noah means rest. Very much linked to comfort, right? Rest. So what is Lamech saying? This one is going to give us rest and comfort and rest from what? From the curse. The curse that lies upon creation. The curse that he was struggling with. Well, when you look in the chapter that we read together, and God looks down from heaven, and what does he see in the days of Noah? And what does he see in the days of Lamech? What does he see in our day? Well, he saw no rest. He saw no comfort. No. What does he see? Verse 3 tells us that God saw that man were striving with God, and people were corrupting themselves. So much so that when God looked at the people, that it grieved God at his heart. Have you ever thought about that? God being grieved by sin. Does that do something to you? God grieved in such a way that it grieved him that he made man. And three times we read in the chapter 6 how bad it really was. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. In verse 12, it was corrupt, it says it again, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And verse 13, again, and the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. So three times, just to say, it's really bad. Rest, no. Sin doesn't give rest. It makes you feel guilty. Rest, violence, no. No rest. Because it makes you feel unsafe. Wickedness, rest, no. No rest. Because that makes you feel evil. You see, no rest, no comfort, because this is not paradise. And Lamech, as he's holding his little son Noah, he is hoping for that rest and for that comfort. In a certain sense, he got some of it, or Noah got some of it, I should say, because God swept the earth clean and started over after the flood, and there's this beautiful picture where Noah builds this ark and there's worship and God accepts it, and there's the rainbow. Rest. It seems such a wonderful new beginning. Rest and comfort. But it was not through Noah. And it was not after the flood that God would bring comfort and rest. It was not through the name of Noah. No, it's through the name of Jesus Christ alone that God comes and brings rest to a world devastated by sin and wickedness and violence. Only through Jesus. And so we look ahead in the New Testament, and there we see another father His name is Joseph. And the angel Gabriel comes to him and speaks to him. What does he say? Joseph, you are to call this little boy that is going to be born from Mary, Virgin Mary. You are to call him Jesus. Jesus. Well, that's not a very special name. The Old Testament is full of them. Joshua, Jesus, it was a very common name. But then he says something. Then he says something. For he shall save his people from their sin. That's it. That makes this name so glorious and so special. He shall save his people from or out of their sins. You see, unrest, no comfort, all because of sin. But here, in the name of Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. And that makes this name of Jesus so special this morning. Have you ever said with one of the hymn writers, how beautiful the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? Have you ever heard it? So special. And Jesus, what Noah couldn't do, Jesus does. Yes, there was this new beginning in Noah. Had this new beginning, but he was a sinner. We all know. But Jesus comes and deals not just with the consequences, not just with the curse of sin. No, he comes and deals with our real problem. Yeah, we sometimes want to just, well, if we are just delivered from the consequences from sin, quick fix. Then I can rest. Then I can have comfort. All the problems at my work or all the problems in my relationships or in this world, if they could just disappear, then I can rest. Then I can have comfort. Is that what you're looking for? Or are you looking for a Savior that can deliver you from your sin, out of your sin? Not just the consequences. Here is a Savior, Jesus Christ, who deals with the very root problem of our restlessness and uncomfortlessness. Restless is our hearts, Augustine said, until it finds rest in thee, O God. So not Noah, but Jesus. Isaiah 11, verse 10, a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say about Jesus Christ? It says, his rest shall be glorious. Glorious. There is real rest in Jesus. Real rest, glorious rest. Because when he walked the earth, he knew about our restlessness and about our comfortlessness. And what did he do? He knew those who were burdened and heavy laden. And he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn of me. Be my disciple. Learn of me that I am lowly, meek and lowly of heart, and what? You will find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul inwardly. So everything can be restless and comfortless outside. But rest in your soul, deep down in your soul. Do you have that? Have you come to Jesus for rest? He invites you today. He teaches us also what the problem is of our restlessness, the fact that we are not comforted. What is it? What's the problem of our restless hearts? Oh, he says, learn of me that I'm meek and lowly. The problem with our restless hearts is what? Pride. Our pride keeps us restless. Now come to me and learn humility, and you will find rest for your soul deep down inside. He invites you and he promises, I will give you rest. Jesus' birth is more glorious than Noah's. Jesus' name is more glorious than Noah's. And Jesus' reputation, thirdly, is more glorious than Noah. Noah grew up in a wicked world like ours, but there was something special. Noah had found that rest for his soul. Noah had found that comfort for his soul. How do we know? Well, when we read Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, we see that there. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. So God looked upon this whole world, and what did he see? Wickedness. God looks down upon this man, Noah, and he sees something different. He can smile. He can look in favor upon Noah. Why? Because God is gracious. It says here, he was a just person. He was just and he walked with God. What does that mean? He did what was right and good. What does it mean that he walked with God? Noah experienced in his heart and soul something of what Adam and Eve experienced when they walked with God in paradise, when they had this wonderful, fulfilling relationship. Noah was in certain way brought back in his heart, back to paradise at times. That's what it means to walk with God. Do you have such a close relationship with the Lord? But you say, well, I am not perfect like him, and I struggle. Well, what does it mean to be perfect? And how can we be perfect? And how can we be just like Noah? Perfect doesn't mean that we are perfect, flawless. This word means simply, he was upright. He had an open conversation with the Lord. He talked with the Lord. He confessed his sin as soon as he saw them in his heart and life. Is that what you do? That's walking with the Lord. And he knew that God was with him and God was for him. And he was not perfect in the sense of flawless. No, no, no. Sinless. No. Noah, it says here. Didn't you hear it? He had found grace, undeserved favor with the Lord. He was a sinner like you and me. Of Noah it was said, just like you and me, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And though that is true, we fall short of the glory. Noah had nevertheless this wonderful walk with the Lord, this closeness with the Lord. And his life, by the grace of God, was characterized by obedience. That's what it means as well, just. Is that what can be said about you? What a wonderful reputation. If by the grace of God you have a reputation like Noah's. Found grace in the eyes of the Lord, just man or woman or boy or girl, perfect, upright, walking with God, obedient. What a reputation. And yet, we all know that after the flood, Noah spoiled that reputation badly as he lies drunken in his tent. What does that tell us? That we are sinners, and that even after grace, we remain sinners. And yet we need the Holy Spirit. But it also tells us that you and I need not to look to Noah, but from Noah we look to Jesus. Noah can't save us, but Jesus can. We come to him for lasting comfort. Yes, everlasting comfort. Everlasting comfort. Because our Savior, if you need a Savior this morning, needs to be flawless, not just upright, but flawless, sinless, spotless. Who is that? God, the Holy God, can only accept someone in our place who can offer a perfect sacrifice and a spotless life. That's the basis of grace. That's why Noah could find grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's why Noah could be called perfect and just and walking with the Lord. And that's why sinners this day can walk with the Lord and find grace in the eyes of the Lord, because there is a Savior who has a reputation that is blameless, flawless, spotless, perfect. Think about it. Jesus was born, yes, but when he started his ministry, he was baptized. And what do we see? We see the angel, we see the dove come down and sit upon him. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes and sits upon him. And then we see heaven open, and we hear a voice. What does this voice say about this, the reputation of this Son of God? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm happy with him. He is perfect. He is spotless. He is blameless. This is the one I can smile upon. I'm well pleased with him. Perfectly satisfied. Because finally there is one who is born sinlessly and who walks this earth with God for the glory of God perfectly, all the every minute, every second of his life, in unbroken holy communion with his Father. Because he is sinless, he is perfect. He has a glorious reputation. And therefore, Jesus is worthy of your and my wholehearted trust. In paradise, what did God call us to do? To walk with God. That's our calling. To live in harmony with God, to be image bearers, shining for God, showing his glory. How are we doing? Are we walking? And even if we have known periods in our lives, we still struggle to walk in constant communion with the Lord. Oh, let's pray for more of the Holy Spirit to do so if you're a child of God here this morning. And if you've never tasted that, this is the life of God in the soul that you need. Let us walk with God. Let us, by the grace of God, begin to once again to fulfill that calling for which we were created. Trusting him alone. Trusting that he will one day also restore the lost paradise, that he will one day take away all the results of the curse, and that he will come and that he will bring true comfort and rest. That he can teach us to walk with God that Jesus can through the power of his Holy Spirit, so that we once again begin to fulfill our calling. How can that be? We're going to look at that in our last two thoughts, but first let us sing about it, how that can be. How blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven. And also verse 3 that says that no whelming flood will reach us or cause our hearts to fear. And that is through Jesus. Psalter 83, stanzas 1 and 3. Boys and girls, when Noah grew up, what was his job? Do you know? I think you will immediately say, well, he was building this massive ark. He built an ark, and he was a shipbuilder, right? True. But that was not the only thing he was. 2 Peter 2, verse 5 tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. How was he a preacher then? Was he preaching? He was busy working on that ark. Well, every time he flung his hammer against that ark, and every time he was sawing away, he was preaching. He was preaching. He was basically saying, if you want true rest, if you want true comfort, then you need to come with me in the ark. You need to flee in the ark. Repent of your sins. He was teaching God's people about God's promises that there's only one safe place, and that's the ark. Noah was a preacher, and he called sinners to repentance. That was his calling. What about Jesus? He was a preacher too. What about his first sermon? The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's Advent. He's coming. God is at hand. He's close by. He has come. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You see that? Same message. Jesus, as it were, was saying with that, repent and believe the gospel. He was saying, turn away from all false comforts, from all things you rest in outside of me, outside of God. Find rest in me alone. And when you look at Jesus and Noah's life, when you look at what their task and calling was, it was not only to be a preacher, but to also, in a certain sense, bring that salvation. In a certain sense, we could say that Noah was also a savior with lowercase s, and that Jesus Christ is the savior with a capital S. Noah was warning, judgment is coming, but God's judgment is going to be poured out, but I'm building this ark so that we can escape the judgment of God. There's only one safe place, and what a day it was when God himself shut that door, and Noah and all the animals were safe with his family in the ark, and it began to rain, and it began to pour, and God's judgments came upon the earth, and it didn't stop raining, and the water came higher, and the earth opened its mouth, and all, what's in the earth? It's lava. It came out, and all happened, and this huge flood came, and the judgment came because of the wickedness of the people, and fires pour out. And every living thing is destroyed after this flood, except Noah and his family. This is how God works. He brings judgment and he saves his people through the judgments. We look at Jesus because Noah points us to Jesus, doesn't it? Noah, yes, he built an ark. But unlike Noah, Jesus Christ, dear congregation, is the ark. He warned against judgments. He invited, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I am the safe place. Take refuge in me. A refuge from what? From the judgments of God because of your sin. Holy and just is God, and he must punish sin. But unlike Noah, who was safe in the ark, Jesus Christ is, as it were, the ark himself, who's in the judgments of God on Calvary, and he is there as the ark of God, and God's wrath is poured out upon him as he experienced the wrath of God on Golgotha. As all the God's waves and billows of his wrath flood over him, as the psalmist says. Why hast thou forsaken me? But also the question, why? Why had Jesus, did Jesus need to go to the cross? Do you understand that this, can you fathom that this is where the Lord shows what it cost to give sinners like you and me comfort, true comfort, everlasting comfort and rest? Look to Christ. Look to the cross. That's where we understand. That's how far God wanted to go. To bring eternal comfort to miserable sinners who seek comfort by nature outside of him. At the cross, we see that God deals not just with the consequences of sin. We love to get rid of the consequences, but no, he comes and deals with the reality of sin, the wrath of God over sin. not just, he comes therefore not just to give shallow comforts, but he gives everlasting, deep and lasting comforts. It shows on the cross how God hates sin perfectly, how God is just and holy and true, and how he restores broken relationships by taking upon himself the wrath of God over sin that we justly rejoice, so that sinners like you and me can, by God's grace and the powerful working of his Holy Spirit, can find grace in the eyes of the Lord and can rejoice in walking with God once again, being comforted, and can rejoice in the fact that Jesus saves us out of our sins and calls us again and again to come in fresh repentance. Noah hammered away, was calling, trust in the ark, come to the ark, flee to the ark, repent of your sins. How many people were with him? Only his family. That's all. How many people listened to Noah? Well, there might have been more children of God before the flood came that had died by the time of the flood that had listened to Noah. Doesn't tell. But we know that only Noah and his eight children, or his wife and children, were in the ark, safe in the ark. What about Jesus? When he calls us to faith and repentance, when he walked the earth, how many responded? Not so many, but we know that one day there will be an innumerable company of people saved in heaven, many more than in Noah's time. But if you look at this world and you compare the number of Christians compared to all the people, it's only a small number. And how many of them are real Christians? Know the deep comforts. So the question comes to us this morning, have you come to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you said, Lord, take away all my shallow comforts and help me to find true and lasting comfort in Jesus Christ alone? Then you can say, this one will comfort us through his calling. He preaches and speaks to your heart. Through his salvation, he saves you from all your sin. And he calls you to repent because the kingdom is at hand. It's close. It's near. And that brings us to our last thought. Find true comfort. Repent, because judgment is coming. Salvation is coming. It's still true. 120 years, Noah preached, and he said, repent, the judgments of God are coming. There's only safety in the ark. And every time he swung his hammer, he heard an invitation. But what were the people doing? What do we read in the Bible that they were doing in the days of Noah? Well, Jesus tells us they were trying to fill their lives with shallow comforts. They were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and giving into marriage in and of themselves. These things are nothing wrong with. But they were living. That was all they had. They were living for earthly comforts. And they thought by themselves, this is going to give us our comfort, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Let us eat and drink and be happy, for more tomorrow we die. That's what we see around us in the world. Are we different? Yes, earthly gifts are comfort and a gift from the Lord. We should not refuse it. The Bible tells us we should dedicate them with thanksgiving and prayer and set them apart by the word of God, and we need to eat and drink and do all for the glory of God. All these things can be done for the glory of God when we are in Christ, in the ark. When we are hiding there, then we know that our comforts and all the things in this world are paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Earned. But the people in Noah's day had nothing more, nothing better. Do you have anything better? Do you have Jesus? Or do you say, well, I want and earthly comfort and Jesus? Well, then I tell you, you will lose both. Jesus wants to be the number one, the only one. And the people were warned in the days of the flood. And the flood came. And they were ignorant. And they were unwilling. And they would not listen. And so there came a day of salvation for Noah. But for many people, it was a day of disaster and destruction. What happened? God came and shut the door. And the day of salvation was over. That day is coming. Once again. It's Advent today. We are looking forward to the second coming. God is bringing salvation to his people. All who, by Noah, like Noah, have learned to walk with God. But there's also this reality that God is going to shut the door. Today, there's the invitation, the door is wide open. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. But then the day of grace and the day of salvation, the door is shut. And it will be too late. If you have always found your comfort and rest outside Jesus Christ, it will be too late. Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready? Are you waiting for Jesus to come? Don't think you will be fine outside of Jesus or a little bit of Jesus and your comforts, your earthly shallow comforts. Think about the days of Noah. The people could have said, well, what are you saying? I mean, look, you are building this massive ark and it doesn't make sense to us. Look, there's no cloud in the air. But God came and shut the door. And they knew when the rain came, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. Terribly wrong. And when Jesus returns, there will be those who call upon the mountains and the hills, cover us from the one who sits upon the throne. When the Bible in 2 Thessalonians says to us that he will come with flaming fire to punish those who disobey the gospel of Christ. That's coming, a flood. A flood to punish. Did you hear that? Those who disobey the gospel of Christ, you've heard the gospel of Christ, have you obeyed it? But how different it will be for those who, by God's grace, are like Noah, saved in the ark. Like Noah, they were brought out of that ark and they were brought into a whole new world where sacrifices are pleasing to God, perfect sacrifices, where they will rejoice in his presence and bask in his presence forever. A new world upon which righteousness dwells, no sin, no curse, no tear, no death. Then, believer, you will sing this verse of Lamech. This one will comfort us concerning the work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. He has reversed the curse. Because he took the wrath of God for me. And all the difficulties, all the hardships, all the troubles and the trials, all the grief you've gone through, you then will know it had to work together for my good. Because God doesn't waste anything in the life of a believer. All the hardships, all the trouble, it's all for my good. So that I am delivered out of my sin. And one day, perfectly delivered into the heavenly glory, prepared for all those who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. There you will be able to say with the Psalm 71, we hope to sing it later, I am comforted on every side. Comforted, surrounded with comfort. Why? Because Jesus is there, the source of all comfort. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit is there, and you will be in his presence, and that is the source of all comfort. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. As Israel's strength and consolation, comfort, hope of all the earth thou art, the dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in our hearts alone, in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Raise us, bring us into this glorious world. Amen. Let's pray. Our glorious Lord, the future of thy church is beyond description. But the misery of those who are outside of Christ is beyond description. And we pray, Lord, will thou work a mighty work this morning? Wake up those who are in their sins and trespasses, dead, seeking shallow comforts. Oh, that they would seek Jesus. That I would hear his voice, come unto me, O ye that are weary and heavy laden. And those who know his voice, O Lord, help us to relish in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And wait with great expectation for his coming. Bless us this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. We conclude our worship service with the singing of Psalter 192, stanzas 2 through 5, and our doxology is 197. 197. 192, 2 through 5, and then 197. Sorry about that. We always do it the other way around. So, may the Lord receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.